listening, I just want to echo that there needs to be a strong commitment towards looking at providing additional resources for also ventilation and HVAC systems in our school, or at least at a minimum, to provide some extra resources so that we can make sure they're up to snuff and working well, particularly given that some of our more aging facilities and properties and in certain parts in some of those schools, you know, ventilation in some parts of the school are better than others. And that's a real concern. And so I just want to echo support for that need. Thank you. Those are my questions, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And Trustee Buck is back on the line. So Trustee Buck.
Yes, I'm so sorry for needing to slip away earlier. I just had a little thing going on with one of my kids. So I will try and be very brief with my questions. It was mentioned that courtesy transportation, we're not going to be extending that. I know that our CISM students normally would qualify. And I just wonder what the impact is going to be for kids in the specialist high schools, major in other special programming that will be impacted by no longer receiving the courtesy transportation.
Associate Director.
Thank you. I'll begin, and then I will pass it over to Superintendent Torrens if he has anything to add. But courtesy transportation wouldn't be the regular process for a student that is eligible in one of our programs, such as CHISM. They would be eligible for transportation and therefore be provided. But I'll ask Superintendent Torrens if I've missed anything there.
Thank you, and through the chair, no, Associate Director Sovereign, that's correct. We expect that all students who are eligible for transportation through a CHISM program will be able to access it.
Trustee Buck?
Yeah, okay, thank you for that. I appreciate that clarity. I do have a comment. I do want to be mindful of everyone's time, and I apologize for having to step out for a little bit. But a lot of feedback that I've received around masks is I'm hearing from parents and from students that they are concerned about being able to hear their teacher. I think two of deaf and hard of hearing students that there would be complications in that regard. So when it comes to exemptions, is anxiety around hearing possibly going to be one of the items that would qualify? I would also, I've heard from some that their child wears glasses, and so wearing a mask fogs up their glasses, and that is causing a good deal of anxiety as well. Any comments around that?
Associate Director.
Thank you. And through the chair, I will ask Superintendent Stefanian, who has become our resident expert on masking.
Superintendent, I believe you are muted. Superintendent? Associate Director, do you have someone else we can go to?
Sure. In terms of the exceptions, I will say that there are a number of exceptions that Superintendent Stefanian is working through with public health so that we do provide our schools with a list of exceptions and some criteria to base it on that is grounded in more than just a judgment call at the school level or a parental request. Hence the need to work collaboratively with public health, as we don't have the level of expertise when it does come to masking. It is something new to us. The other part of your question, if I heard it correctly, if I interpreted it correctly, Trustee Beck, has to do with some students who may require that instructors wear a different type of mask, for instance, that allows a student to be able to see their facial expressions as they're speaking, for instance, and those as well through Superintendent Blair and specialized services are being acquired and being provided.
Trustee Buck, further questions?
No, that's great to hear. Thank you so much for that. I do have just one more question. Around Learning Commons, it was in the package that it's possible Learning Commons will be converted into classrooms to help with the social distancing and I won't go into all that, but so do we anticipate like a fair number of our schools needing to make the Learning Commons a classroom, and how will this impact our scheduling day to day? How different will that be from a regular school year where kids would a few times a week make their way down and I think to where library time can sometimes be used as a sorry, the word is escaping me. Library time is the regular teacher, the homeroom teacher's chance to catch up and do their break. Any comments around that? Associate Director.
Thank you. I will begin and then ask if there's others who've been working a little more closely with this if they'd like to comment. But going back to what we've indicated in the report through the guidelines from the ministry, the strong expectation is that a cohort in an elementary, that's a class, would remain in their classroom other than the times that they would go outdoors or into a specialized area such as a gymnasium. A Learning Commons is not necessarily considered a specialized area the same way that a gymnasium would be. And so at least for the time being, the expectation would be that we would minimize the movement of any cohort, of any classroom from their regular class, including going to the Learning Commons. The second piece to that is that, of course, access to the resources in the Learning Commons is something that we realize that needs to continue. And so instead of having students into the Learning Commons, part of the strategy will be to have staff retrieve resources from the Learning Commons. But I'm going to pass it to Superintendent Gillies, who together with Superintendent McPherson have been leading our committee work around elementary and some of the logistics in elementary. So, Superintendent Gillies.
Thank you, and through the chair, just to add as well that Learning Commons space in elementary schools would also be used to support specialized programs for students, including our English language learners and students with needs that require perhaps small group or one-to-one intervention. That space could be utilized for those specialized programs as well to make good use of that space. Thank you.
Joined.
Trustee Buck, any questions?
No further questions right now. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much. And we have our student trustees. Do we still have, if they're still with us, student trustee Hessler?
Hi there. Yep, I'm still with you guys.
Wonderful.
So I would first,
So I would first like to thank all of you guys for giving us a welcome, and it is really inspiring to meet all of you guys. That being said, I do have a couple questions, just three. So my first question was actually posed to me by a student in the HWDSB, and they were concerned regarding their community service hours and how the kind of new model would adapt to those hours just because they need them to graduate.
Wonderful. Associate Director Sovereign.
Great. Thank you. And through the chair, first of all, welcome to Student Trustee Hessler. Nice to have you join us. I'm looking forward to meeting you, not virtually. And so to your question, and thank you to the student who posed the question through you, that is something that will continue to be a requirement, our community service hours. And as we experienced during the school closure period, there were many opportunities for those hours to be made available and gathered through virtual experiences. That would continue as well, but I'm going to ask Superintendent Torrens to add any further comments around community service hours, because I know that his team has done a fair bit of work in this area.
Thank you, and through the chair, that is correct that we do expect students who are graduating in 2021 to complete their community hours by ministry direction, and they can do so with virtual opportunities. We'll continue to support students in finding those opportunities, working through Secondary Student Services Departments. Thank you.
Student Trustee Hessler, do you have any further questions?
Yep. So a common trend among students is that we tend to switch classes at the beginning of the school year, mostly for grade 12 to accommodate their university needs. So to what extent is the rotational model able to adapt to this?
Associate Director?
Thank you, and through the chair, and it is a great question. So regardless of which model that we would adopt, the adherence to being in one cohort is really, really important. That said, the rotational model will provide, just by the virtue of the fact that all four courses are available, that there's only one course at any given time that's being undertaken in person, it would provide some of the greater flexibility in terms of some of that movement. But I will say that overall, there will be far more restrictions to moving in and out of courses, especially early on, because there won't necessarily be space, because they'll be more tightly defined in terms of their cohort numbers. But the rotational model does provide a lot of flexibility, because there will be three out of the four will be done remotely, and so then there won't be the same concern in terms of moving from, you know, one cohort to another.
Student Trustee Hessler, did you have further follow-up?
Not for that one, but my last question are just geared towards
Carol Hagen Miller.
Left.
So just geared towards how gym, music, and kind of art classes are impacted by the COVID restrictions. And kind of depending on your answer, I have a proposal that might help these kind of classes.
Okay. We'll go to Associate Director Sovereign.
Thank you. And through the chair, so there are a number of different courses, both in the elementary, but primarily in the secondary panel, that will have some additional restrictions. You've highlighted a few, be they music or health and physical education, art, and so on. But there are a number of others as well, in terms of some of our technology courses, and some of our other courses that do require different resources, different sharing of resources at times. And so, again, through Superintendent Torrens, the program division, as well as the specialized services, have been undertaking a lot of work in this area to look at how do we provide and continue to provide all of these courses, fulfill the curriculum requirements, and make them, you know, high quality. So I'll ask Superintendent Torrens if he has anything else to add, but I will point to the resource in the report, the program guide resource that is going to be very substantive, that will be provided to staff to help guide them through many of these questions. But Superintendent Torrens?
Thank you, and through the chair, just to build on what was shared by Associate Director Sovereign, certainly in all of those areas and others as cited by Associate Director Sovereign, we do need to look at the undertaking that learning in as safe a manner as possible and within the cohorting structure where quite a bit of the learning will occur in a remote or remotely rather than being live and in person. What I will say is in terms of the development of the resource discussed, we're now receiving feedback from our Federation partners on that, and we expect it to be ready in the next week and a half or so.
Student Chesley Husley, did that answer your question, or do you still have a recommendation for us?
That did answer my question. I do still have a proposal for you guys. Is that a whole different meeting, or does that also fit into this as well?
Well, normally we would, because I'm not quite sure what it is, and so normally we would have staff put together operational, and I guess items, so that's the whole plan that you see before you. And normally the role of trustee would be to ask questions from a governance viewpoint. So have you considered this? Have you asked this question? Have you consulted students? Have you consulted certain bodies of people? But let's hear your question and then we can help guide it. How about that?
Yes. So it was a proposal for an app. So I believe that it would be really useful for decreasing the amount of stress on teachers and also providing motivation for students while they are online. So the app is called MasterClass. It's actually taught by celebrities. So there's people like, I know, so the app is, yes, taught by celebrities, and it's all people that students can kind of relate to. So I just kind of believe that this app would help to kind of guide students. And it's geared mostly towards things like gym and art and music.
I think I've heard of this before, too. So with this, what we would normally do is we would ask staff questions, for example, how are we connecting with students via online, or is there other areas that are being considered? Normally, we're not recommending specific concrete, very specific, ideas in that way. But I think what I want to do is turn it over to staff, and then because I wonder if staff are able to kind of provide some response in this area about stuff that they are doing, or perhaps how your recommendation kind of triggers them to consider other areas. So, Associate Drell.
Alice.
Oh, sorry, did someone say my name?
Yeah, sorry, Alex, it's Penny.
Hi.
Could I just add something to the student trustee's recommendation?
Yeah.
Normally that wouldn't, I know, I recognize we're in a difficult spot because normally we wouldn't be doing that, and there's no crosstalk across the table, Trustee Deese. So I think where we're going to maybe go with this is work to take it offline, Trustee Deese. So at this point, I am going to go back to the associate director, okay? Okay, so Associate Director.
Thank you, and through the chair. Thank you very much, Student Trustee Hessler. So working together with Superintendent Torrens, we'll take away the suggestion, which just means that Superintendent Torrens, if he needs to, will follow up with you, get a little bit more information, and we'll look into the suggestion. See, as the chair has indicated, if it already fits with something that we're working on, or if it's something else we would like to explore, but we'll have Superintendent Torrens connect in with you. So thank you.
Thank you. And I see Director Figueredo is also wanting to respond as well. Director?
Thank you. Peter captured it. We've had many students reach out, and we've connected them to different ad hoc committees with suggestions and ideas they have. So, and Peter's captured it. We'd be happy to take it offline and explore this, as I've heard about this this app and the master classes, and let's explore it offline. That'd be great. Thank you.
I'd like to be involved in that too, if you don't mind. I've been studying it too.
Absolutely. So we'll connect with us offline then. Student Trustee Hessler, did you have any further questions?
No, that'll be all. I'm looking forward to making that happen.
Well, thank you so much. That was a great, first set of questions. We'll turn now to Student Trustee Fatima Sakhar.
Yes,
wonderful.
Thank you.
I'm
sorry to thank you guys for your warm welcome. I had two questions. One was regarding exams, whether there was any changes to the exam season because of this rotational model.
Mm-hmm. Great question. Associate Director?
Thank you, and through the chair, I'm sorry, but I actually had unplugged my headpiece, and I missed part of that question. So my apologies, Student Trustee Zakhar. Could you re-ask the question?
Yes. Student Trustee Zakhar, can you please repeat the question?
Sure. It was just about exams, whether there was going to be any changes to the exam season of how it's done previously because of the new rotational model.
Thank you, and through the chair. And again, let me extend a welcome to you, Student Trustee Sikar. Great to have you join us, and thank you for the question. And so the exam schedule will remain the same in terms of the school year calendar. The school year calendar was approved by the Board of Trustees at the June 13th special board meeting. And with the rotational model, we believe one of the strengths of the rotational model as well is that it maintains the school year calendar as has been approved, which has five exam days at the end of each semester, as opposed to a quadmester type of scenario, which would have required the resubmission of the school year calendar and repositioning the exam days at different points during the year. So I hope that helps answer your question.
Student Trustee Zakhar, do you have further questions? Please ask.
Thank you. Just another question about extracurriculars after school that use the school building. I know many people have contacted me about this. I was wondering.
Yes, we've heard lots of questions with that regard. Associate Director.
Thank you, and through the chair. So as has been indicated in the previous report, in terms of limiting the number of individuals accessing our school properties on the inside, the community use of schools will be suspended until further notice. And any extracurriculars undertaken by the school level, again, would need, whether they're after school or at any point during the day, as I had indicated earlier, would have to meet all of the other requirements in terms of maintaining cohorts, in terms of limiting the number of staff and or others that would be in contact with students within a cohort. So those would be some of the considerations that we'll be looking at. And for the time being, as I've said, we're going to start the school year without any extracurriculars being planned. And then we'll carefully monitor, continue to seek the advice through public health and also our colleagues in other school boards and seeing how they're managing this aspect of school life.
Student Trustee Zakhar, do you have any further questions or follow-up?
No further questions or follow-ups. That was a great answer. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you as well for your first questions. I do have a couple of questions, and I will keep it short. Just noting that we are approaching 9 p.m., so at the 10 p.m. mark, I'll be looking for an extension because we still need to get through Trustee Bingham's motion. So just quickly, I know that there was some information provided around the distance in our classrooms. Do we know how many classrooms where we will not be able to respect the 1 meter distance? Associate Director?
Thank you, and through you, Madam Chair, just looking for clarity, is the question regarding elementary classrooms or secondary classrooms? And the reason I ask is that in secondary, as you know, because we're in an adaptive model, then our requirement will be 2 meter distancing as per the guidelines. And in elementary classrooms, because we're in a conventional model, then while we'll try and maximize, and we'll look to maximize physical distancing, we have not been planning with a 1 or a 2 meter distancing requirement. So just looking for clarification around the question.
Sorry, it was elementary, but I'm guessing that means that we do we have any idea then how many classes wouldn't be able to make that or no?
Thank you. Through the chair, we haven't explored a 1 meter distancing, so we wouldn't have an answer to that at this time.
Okay.
Just like provide clarification to the chair. Trustee Danko did mention earlier around sick kids making, sick kids article indicating or the research indicating 1 meter. The Ministry of Education revised guidance document did not indicate that. So that's why staff have not been directed to explore and gather that. Once the document came out July 30th, and there was further direction on masking and full conventional return to elementary, the physical distancing is length of 2 meters or 1 meter is not listed in the ministry guidance document. I just wanted to provide that clarity.
Okay, so that and that also, I guess, helps. With that, would we have the space, especially for kindergarten classes? And I think Stacey kind of answered this previously, but if we were to move to a 15 cap for kindergarten, would we have the space to do it? I believe Associate Director Zeker said we had 300 spaces, but is that actually doable? Associate Director Zeker?
Through the chair, it would be extremely difficult. We would do it based on the direction then, but it would be transportation costs related to getting students to the schools. They're mostly in secondary schools, so you would have, kindergarten classes set up in secondary schools. So I don't think it's optimal, but again, I'm not sure anything is optimal at this point. So, we would use direction provided. We would look at all of our options, but there would certainly be a big cost. Teachers, space, capital improvements, and transportation, and obviously other concerns related to that, because if you went to 15 class for kindergarten, then that says you don't need a DECE, and what does that mean? And there's a lot of questions that would have to be answered. So from a space perspective, technically, yes, but a lot of concerns about where the spaces would be and how we would get students there and if it would be appropriate for use.
Okay. And then I also want a question with regard to, we have teachers like LERTs and other reading specialists, numeracy specialists who are going into classrooms and will potentially be having contact with over 100 kindergarten students. How are we working to minimize the risk there where teachers would traditionally travel between classes? Are there any additional precautions? Associate Director Zobrin?
Thank you, and through you, Madam Chair, the additional or enhanced public health measures do include the medical grade face masks for staff, the face shields for staff, the frequent hand hygiene, and in our discussions with, again, Hamilton Public Health, and on the ministry guidelines, that while we want to limit the number of staff that are interacting with any particular cohort, it is understood that there are staff who will need to interact with multiple students. And so really the viewpoint has been around having the students be in contact with as few staff members as possible, but as staff members work with the different cohorts, when they're provided with the enhanced public health measures, that is part of that layered approach in terms of mitigating the risks. I'll ask Superintendent Stefanian. I know she was having some phone issues, but if she's back on the line, if she has anything else to add to that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm back. I apologize. I was having some phone issues, but I have nothing further to add.
Okay. I guess my other question does go to Superintendent Zucker, and I know that we're not quite sure how much money we're receiving from the ministry yet. But are we aware at all of what the shortfall is? Because I think the final number was around 300,000 so far. So do we have any idea at all what the shortfall is in comparison? And if not, then I'll just ask that that this come back to trustees, because we'll want to keep a close eye on what the costs are and you know, what is or is not being funded by the government as of August 10th before a September reopening. Superintendent Zucker?
Thank you, and through the chair. And I'll go back to Steve Miller's comment earlier that she doesn't like to be in a position where she doesn't know the cost and doesn't know the funding. So she can imagine how difficult this is for me as an accountant, not knowing the cost or the funding and being responsible for the budget. So that being said, and as trustees know, we are always very conservative in our estimates. We will look at sort of the highest cost and make the most conservative assumptions based on funding. So based on the appendix that came last board meeting, we estimated the cost at approximately $2.1 million, knowing that some of that funding some of the purchasing is happening right now, and some of it's being delivered right now, which means it's even though it's for 2020-21, accounting rules say if it's delivered, that's a cost of this year. So we're funding it as a savings in the current year budget. And then some of it will be funded by the ministry again, how much we're unsure. And then the rest of it would be funded by the contingency. And as trustees know, we have about $2 million in our contingency in order to be able to, because of the budget assumptions that we made prior to passing the budget. So all of that being said, I wouldn't be able to estimate what our shortfall would be or how much of the contingency we would use next year until we know what our true costs are and what the funding are. What the funding is, sorry, but I do believe that if nothing else changes, that we would be able to fund the costs related to enhanced cleaning and PPE out of the contingency for next year. But again, that's just the funding, or sorry, that's just the cleaning and the PPE. That doesn't take into account any changes that we would make for staffing.
Okay. I think those are all my questions for now. So thank you very much. I just actually the one question I did want to ask, and I'll send this to Associate Director Sovereign. If you can just highlight for us, and especially for any of the parents that will be having many questions for us tomorrow, with regards to the rotational model versus the quadmaster model. And I know this was highlighted a bit earlier, but can you just clarify? So the ministry is no longer approving quadmaster models. Is that correct?
Thank you, and through the chair. No, I don't want to give the impression, that, there's anything, wrong with a quadmaster model. As we know and as we've seen, there are school boards that have chosen this direction. All I can provide is the work that we've undertaken through the leadership of Superintendent Dunamy and Dunlop, principals, vice principals, and our partners at OSSTS Local have looked at what's going to be the best fit here in HWDSB. And so keeping in mind, we want to minimize the disruption. We want to continue to have that robust choice of courses. So when we looked at that, maintaining our collective agreements, the rotational model just fits a lot better. When we layered on top of that, the advice of Hamilton Public Health, which has not wavered from the beginning, which is maintain a single cohort if you can. And it was repeated, maintain a single cohort if you can. The quad mastering model doesn't maintain a single cohort. It's, by its design, has two cohorts interacting. But as I indicated, when we did our follow-up meeting with the Ministry of Education on the 4th of August, we were very deliberate in that meeting to discuss our model and to explore a quad mastering model. And it was through that meeting that the advice was the model that you've worked on works. It actually supersedes the indirect number of contacts quite significantly, which is really that enhanced safety measure. And since it works, and it has the enhanced safety measures, then...
Peter, sorry, I just got to... Heather, we're at 10:05. Can I still extend? If I had mentioned it earlier. Okay, I'm just going to move the motion. On the motion, do we have John Dango on the line still?
Yep. I'll extend by...
Okay.
30 minutes.
Great. And seconded by Penny G. Does anyone vote against? Hearing none, the motion passes. Sorry, continue, Peter.
Let me start at the beginning. No, I'm kidding. But, oh, good. Somebody is listening and laughing. In terms of the meeting that we had and the advice that we received, it really did come down to the model works. It meets all the criteria. It's been thought through very carefully by, as I indicated, key staff and our employee groups. And because it does that and still allows for all of the flexibility within the semester, why not keep the model? So when we did ask, well, what about the quad mastering model, it was very helpful to hear from two assistant deputy ministers who described in quite some detail that a quad mastering model will work, but this is what you'll need to do to make it work. You will need to limit the number of courses that students select from in grades 9 and 10. You will have to move towards many more courses in grades 11 and 12 being offered exclusively online because you won't be able to reduce the number of choices for in-person interactions in those courses. And so given those choices, we decided that the rotational model continued to meet all of our criteria. It works. We believe it's a sound model. But it's not that the quad mastering won't work, and we don't want to leave that impression. If our colleagues and other boards have found ways that it works by limiting the number of timetable choices, then, you know, by all means, that's something that they've chosen to do.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so that concludes my questions. At this point, I will turn to Trustee Bingham to bring forward her motion. Trustee Bingham? Do we have Trustee Bingham on the line?
Yes, I was having trouble finding getting that mute button put on. Thank you. So at this point, due to the amount of emails and phone calls and many other things, I wanted to bring this motion forward. I've got to get to the start of it. Whereas in the HWDSD return to school plan, it's anticipated that approximately 15% of parents, guardians, or caregivers will opt for full remote learning for their children, whereas a reduction in returning to the physical homeroom school classroom by students does not produce a reduction in class sizes, but rather a reduction in the number of physical homeroom classes offered. And an increase in full remote learning classes, whereas larger classes and or multiple class reorganizations may take place throughout the school year as students opt to transition from full remote learning to physical classroom learning or vice versa, whereas smaller class sizes, fewer reorganizations, and greater system stability would be created if physical homeroom classes included reserved seats for full remote learners who may return, be it resolved that the chair, on behalf of the Board of Trustees, requests that the Director of Education connect with Ministry of Education staff for the provision of full funding to achieve lower elementary class sizes that average 15 students for grades K to 3, and 20 students for grades 4 to 8. In the physical homeroom class.
Thank you. And that motion is seconded by Trustee Buck. I think for the essence of time, I'm going to go quickly through the list, and folks can say if they're voting for or against. I think that with regard to that, if there's any comments, we'll go through quickly. I'm gonna just ask if there's any comments at this time. Is there anyone who's wanting to make additional comments at this time? Hearing none, I think we can actually probably go straight to a vote, Trustee Bingham. So with that, I am going to go through.
Sorry, Alex, it's Tammy. Sorry, I couldn't get my speaker off quick enough. Can I make a comment?
Okay. Yes, you can. Trustee Deese, please make a comment.
So this was touched on earlier, I think, by Associate Director Zucker. But is it even possible to do this? Is it physically possible?
Mm-hmm. So I will go to I'll go to the director on this.
So thank you to the chair. I think you heard to answer the physically possible. Just if I could share some numbers, as you saw, associate director in the report of the financial piece. Indicated that if our classes were capped at around 15 in all elementary, this motion says 15 in K to 3 and 24 to 8 as averages. But Stacey has shared that if we were all 15 and all students came back, that would mean about 900 additional classes or 76 million. Looking at this motion, and assuming that 15% of parents, based on our thought exchange survey earlier, choose remote learning, this would still approximately be anywhere between $40 to $45 million and still require roughly around 500 classes. So to answer the question, is it possible? A, if we were able to obtain the money, that would be our first barrier. And then second, is it possible by September? I would say it would be a challenge. But if I'm just getting clear direction of this motion, is the motion asking me as a director to speak with ministry staff around our particular case and see if it's possible. So even if we're successful, if this motion is passed, successful in obtaining the money, I would still be concerned around the timeline around September 8th, 4 weeks left to execute this. But that would be the second piece. The first piece, if the motion is passed, would be to see if we're successful in obtaining this money or any amount of money. So to answer your question, Trustee B, timelines would be very difficult, but the first thing is let's see if what is able to be achieved if this motion is passed around achieving any further resources. But that's the amount we're probably looking at that I was able to consult with the associate director based on our numbers.
But would we have the space add those extra classrooms to accommodate those students?
So through the chair, as you heard Stacey say earlier, it would require us to look at all our spaces, repurposing our, gymnasiums, learning commons, and potentially spaces in secondary schools that are not used, or secondary schools that are currently in our inventory but are closed. So is it possible? Yes, but it would not necessarily mean that it would be possible in everyone's home school, but potentially possible with exhausting all spaces.
And to be clear, to Trustee Bingham, are you wanting to offer any clarification? Because the motion itself is talking about holding. So that you would have a full complement of online instruction. So currently, if you have a class, say you have two grade two classes and they both have 15 students, or if you have, and you were to have, say, 10 students from that school say that they're not going to return, that they're going to do online instruction, those classes then collapse into one, and the 10 students then go to online instruction. If for the end of September, beginning of October, some of those students decide that they're going to reemerge into the school system, you would then have to reorganize a classroom, and you would need to have so that you would have to either reopen or you would say there was only a handful of students coming back, you would try to crunch them into the existing one physical classroom. So it becomes what this motion is talking about is actually holding the spaces, reserving spots for students, the 15% who say that they're going to continue to do online instruction, so that we can have less reorganization throughout the year and have more, and have classes that can have more physical distance where possible. So it's taking those classes where we're assuming at some point the kids may return, and so that there would be less reorg throughout the year and less and the ability to maintain classes with lower spaces. So just to be clear on what that, but Trustee Bingham, did you want to provide any more clarity to your motion?
The motion actually comes because so many people, and the trustees have received hundreds and hundreds of emails and phone calls from families who are so afraid of having larger class sizes, sending their children. They're not even sure whether they want to. I have one family who is single parent who says they are considering keeping their kids home except for they're also working from home, so they can't really work with the students. So will the students actually be penalized if this happens? Because they're so afraid of sending their children, which are in the lower grades, to class where there are such high numbers in the classroom. And I'm hearing this over and over and over again from families that they don't want their children in such a high classroom because they don't feel that it would be safe enough for those students. And the majority
Christine, sorry if I can just jump in. So I was sorry, when I was looking for clarity, it had more to do with the technical, not the motivational part behind the motion. So just because Trustee Deese is asking questions around, is it feasible? So the feasibility of being able to do it. So it's not about, I was just trying to get Trustee Deese technical clarity on the motion, not motivational clarity. Do you have anything further to add towards that?
Now, technically, what I've heard is there is a possibility. We have to find out if we get the funding for it first, which is
okay,
where we head with it.
Thank you. Trustee Deese? Trustee Deese, I think you might be on mute.
Sorry. That's okay. My phone was off. No, that's fine. So you're asking explore and then we'll see. Like I said, my concern is around the space to spread out kids that much. So that's fine. Thank you.
Thank you. And did that answer your question, Trustee Deese?
Not really. I guess, like I said, I'm concerned about, and I know what Christine's saying. I'm getting the same amount of emails and the concern about, you know, the larger classes, and they'd like to see smaller classes, and I think that's ideal. But I'm just concerned about is it realistic? Like, even if we got them funding, could we make it happen without spreading kids all over the place? And I'm just worried if it's more disruptive than not. So those are just my concerns around it.
Okay. So I'll just quickly ask, is there anyone else who has, Trustee Galindo, you have a question?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I think, you know, based on what I'm hearing, I'm going to suggest a friendly amendment to Trustee Bingham's motion to add the language at the very last paragraph, be it resolved, the Chair on behalf of the Board of Trustees requests that the Director of Education connect with Ministry of Education staff for the provision of full funding to achieve lower elementary class sizes that average 15 students for. My point being, at the end of that sentence, includes something along the lines of where physically and logistically possible, something along those lines, so that it's still at the discretion of our own board staff to see if it is possible. So even if it's not with all kindergarten classes, at least it gives us the space to work with, you know, from a funding perspective, where possible.
I'm trying to think. Liaison Officer Miller, I believe it doesn't contravene the original motion. Just looking for some quick guidance on that. I believe that it would, I could go to Trustee Bingham and ask for approval because I believe it just furthers the existing motion. Am I correct in that?
That is correct.
Okay. Chris, Trustee Bingham, are you okay to add that language?
Yeah, that would be great, actually.
Okay.
Madam Chair, if I might be able to throw it over. Sorry, this is Trustee Galindo again.
Yep.
I'd love to maybe get confirmation from the director that the language that we would be using would translate accordingly with the motion. Would it be helpful to get that clarification from the director? Or maybe there's language that would be preferable based on what we're trying to achieve with the motion?
I'm not sure. So I'm not sure that it actually changes too much, but I can turn to we need to put this on the floor first. It's now an amended motion by Trustee Bingham, seconded by Trustee Galindo. And I will turn to the director. Director, can you please provide some clarity if this language is helpful?
So through the chair, the language is helpful. The language will be helpful in terms of where possible. So I'll just stand there and answer any further questions trustees may have.
Okay. So I think, and I have a number of people who want to be on the speakers list, so I'm going to go through the whole speakers list. So with that, I'm wondering, so this is now to the amended motion. However, for the sake of time, if you don't want to speak towards the amended motion, please don't. And I'll need a motion to extend shortly. So I'll just go through. Do we still have Kathy Archer, Trustee Archer, with us? Trustee Archer? Okay. Trustee Bingham, did you want to speak towards the amendment?
No, I agree. Having an opportunity to be able to say where possible or, physically or I think that would be wonderful.
Okay, great. And just folks, if you want to keep your comments short, please do. If not that you need to, but if you do, please do. Trustee Buck.
I really don't have to add other than I would say we can be more. So if we want to create the safer environment than what will be possible with the ministry last week in their announcement, we need more money to do that. And it's a matter of safety and making sure that we are creating classrooms that our staff and our students can learn and thrive in over the course of the next few months.
Thank you. Trustee Danko, and I'll get you just beforehand. Trustee Danko, can you please do another extension?
Motion to extend 15 minutes.
Thank you, and I'll have that seconded by Trustee Galindo. Anyone voting against? Hearing none, we'll continue on, and the extension passes. Trustee Danko, any comments to the amendment?
I'll start with a quick question, if I may. Again, going back to feasibility, is this possible? I would have preferred to have seen numbers like an average of 20 for grades 1 to 3 15 for grades 1 to 3 and 20 for kindergarten and 4 to 8